111. Men and Nature. Our environment is being polluted faster than nature and man's present efforts can prevent it. Time is bringing us more people, and more people will bring us more industry, more motor vehicles, large cities, and the growing use of man-made materials. What can explain and solve this problem? The fact is that pollution is caused by man, by his desire for a modern way of life. We make increasing industrialization our chief aim. For its sake, we are willing to sacrifice everything: clean air, pure water, good food, our health, and the future of our children. There is a constant flow of people from the countryside into the cities, eager for the benefits of modern society. But as our technological achievements have grown in the last 20 years, so pollution has become a serious problem. Isn't it time we stop to ask ourselves where we are going and why? It reminds me of the story about the airliner pilot who told his passengers over the loudspeaker, "I've some good news and some bad news. The good news is that we're making rapid progress at 530 miles per hour. The bad news is that we're lost and don't know where we're going." The sad fact is that this becomes a true story when applied to our modern society.
112. Water resources. With the economic development and the increase of the population, we are faced with the lack of water supply. From a recent survey, it can be seen that the consumption of water all over the world has been remarkably raised compared with that of last year. Statistics also show that a lot of water resources such as lakes, rivers, and oceans have been polluted seriously. As a result, there is less space for people to obtain enough healthy water. So, it is high time for us to find a solution to the problem. There are two main ways to solve the problem. First, with the development of high technology, new resources may be found and the present ones can be exploited effectively. Second, measures should be taken to restrain the increase of water consumption. For example, we can advocate the recycling of water in industry. Being one of those whose life had been threatened by the crisis, I would like to do something helpful, such as not wasting water in daily life and spreading the idea of protecting environment. As long as we take it seriously, we will definitely overcome this difficulty.
113. Noises in city. Do you think there is too much noise in our city? If you live near the airport, you'll be unhappy only because a jet plane flying in the sky makes loud noise. The sound of planes or heavy vehicles is likely to cause deafness if heard continuously. However, most people in our city do not seem to mind noise. They like to enjoy music when they are doing dull jobs. It is a new danger because pop music, when played through powerful amplifiers, can reach 120 decibels at a distance of 5 feet. It is known that a continuous noise of over 85 decibels can cause deafness. Recently, it was discovered that many teenagers in America could hear no better than 65-year-old people. In the past, we used to think that only workers in very noisy places became deaf. For example, when newspapers and books are being printed, the noise level is about 85 decibels, and some of the workers become deaf. Scientists believe that 10% of all workers in Britain are being deafened by the noise in the factories. Moreover, noise of less than 85 decibels can make some people tired and anxious. We all know that too much noise makes life difficult and unpleasant. It can damage health and prevent people from working well. Noise makes people less efficient. In Britain, the government has recently made several laws to reduce noise. Moreover, the government has spent a good deal of money in making airports and main roads quieter. However, many people think that there are still not enough laws. For example, there are no laws to control noise made by machines. In Japan, America, and Norway, there are such laws. As a result, workers can claim compensation if they become deaf.
114. Air. The earth is surrounded by a large quantity of air called the atmosphere. This atmosphere, which is about 900 kilometers thick, exists everywhere. Without it, the earth would be too hot in the day and too cold at night. All living things on earth are dependent on air. We can live on for a few days without food and water, but we cannot live for more than a few minutes without air. When we are working or running, we need more air, so we breathe faster than usual. When we are asleep, we need less air, so we breathe slower. Fresh air can make people energetic and healthy. Dirty air, on the other hand, can make people sick or even cause death. But it is a pity that the air is now seriously polluted. Many factories in big cities send smoke and other harmful chemical substances into the air. Cars and buses in the streets also give out their exhaust. Although some important steps have been taken, yet this problem still remains unsolved. We sincerely hope that we will never see the black smoke in the sky in the near future.
115. Developing economy or protecting the environment. Some people think that the urgent task is to develop economy on a large scale. Many people, especially in rural areas, are living in poverty. Many children cannot afford to receive the compulsory education. They believe that the only way to get rid of poverty is well-developed economy, which is bound to bring prosperity. On the other hand, many people insist that environmental protection should be a top priority. They say that we have only one earth. If our living environment were destroyed or polluted completely, we could not survive on this planet. Now, most parts of the earth are polluted. What has brought the pollution is the rapid development of economy. Many factories discharge much harmful chemicals into air and rivers every day. In my opinion, both economic development and environmental protection are our urgent tasks now. Without economic development, we would remain backward, and we might be conquered and bullied by other countries. Without environmental protection, we would lose our home. Therefore, the best solution is that we should devote to the protection of our home while we are developing our economy. Many findings in scientific research can be applied in the environmental protection.
116. Keeping our city clean. Cities, big or small, should be clean. A clean city is good both to our mind and body. In a clean city, diseases may be reduced, and people's health may be better. We can hardly imagine that people live happily in a dirty city with waste everywhere. However, keeping our city clean is no easy job, especially in modern times, when more and more people are moving into the cities. These people produce waste every day. But big waste producers may be factories which pour wastes into the air, river, and onto the ground. It is necessary to impose some kind of laws on them in order to keep our city clean. To keep our city clean, our government has already done a lot. For example, arranging for sanitation men to clean the main road every night, placing dustbins in the street, disposing garbage in a scientific way, etc. Perhaps a more active way is to call on people to plant more trees, put wastes into fixed places. If every one of us takes care of our city and does his best to keep it clean, our city is sure to be a beautiful place where all of us can live a happy life.
117. Noise pollution. In the past, noise was rarely associated with pollution, but recently it is found that many mental diseases are closely related to noise. Therefore, it is also labeled as a kind of pollution nowadays. That there is too much noise afflicting our daily life is a manifest fact. Especially in big cities, it is almost a dream to enjoy a short period of noiseless, tranquil leisure time, except at dawn or in the depth of night. Whistling vehicles, bustling crowds of people, untiring loudspeakers of various stores, and lots of others produce nerve-wracking noise. Noise diverts our attention, disturbs our sleep, and destroys our ears. As a consequence, we are becoming more and more fidgety and upset because of the noise pollution. It is high time that serious consideration was given to noise pollution. Moreover, measures should be taken to protect people against noise and secure us a quiet environment. It is an arduous task, yet it can be accomplished if only we try not to be short-sighted and think twice before any hasty and irrational decisions are made.
118. The protector of nature. John James Audubon was born in 1785 and died in 1851, but his name is still spoken today. Audubon was a scientist who loved nature. He wanted to show people the importance of nature in their lives. He was especially interested in birds and painted many beautiful pictures of them. In 1905, the National Audubon Society was formed by people who were also interested in birds and wanted to continue Audubon's nature studies. Even now, when people think of the Audubon Society, they usually think of birds. But the Society does other things besides watching birds. The members of the Society try to improve the environment as much as they can. They let the public know about laws that are needed. They have helped to pass many laws that protect birds and animals, and people too. They teach young people how to protect their environment. They try to make their own communities cleaner, better places to live in. John James Audubon knew that nature was important. He did not know how important his work would become.
119. My family. With six people in my family, it's not fun being the middle kid. Besides Mom and Dad, I have two older brothers and a pretty sister. My father is a manager in a company, and my mother is a doctor. They are quite busy all day. We all try to help with the housework. Chung Han is my eldest brother. He is a junior in a university now. He is going to be a medical doctor. When he is at home, he has his nose in a book and yells at me if I make the slightest noise. My pretty sister is only in elementary school, but she is good at helping mother with cooking and cleaning. I'm only a senior in high school. I'm just young enough to get pushed around by my big brothers and not old enough yet to boss my younger sister. My second elder brother is a whiz at math. Since I'm going to be a chemistry major in college, I sometimes need his help with my homework. He is only a freshman, but he is really good. However, I cannot complain too much. I really love my family. I'm proud of all of them. I would not change them for any other family.
120. Where is happiness from? The way people hold to the belief that a fun-filled, pain-free life equals happiness actually reduces their chances of ever attaining real happiness. If fun and pleasure are equal to happiness, then pain must be equal to unhappiness. But, in fact, the opposite is true. More often than not, things that lead to happiness involve some pain. As a result, many people avoid the very attempts that are the source of true happiness. They fear the pain inevitably brought by such things as marriage, raising children, professional achievement, religious commitment, self-improvement. Ask a bachelor why he resists marriage, even though he finds dating to be less and less satisfying. If he is honest, he will tell you that he is afraid of making a commitment. For commitment is, in fact, quite painful. The single life is filled with fun, adventure, and excitement. Marriage has such moments, but they are not its most distinguishing features. Couples with infant children are lucky to get a whole night's sleep or a 3-day vacation. I don't know any parent who would choose the word fun to describe raising children. But couples who decide not to have children never know the joys of watching a child grow up or of playing with a grandchild. Understanding and accepting that true happiness has nothing to do with fun is one of the most liberating realizations. It liberates us from envy. We now understand that all those who are always having so much fun actually may not be happy at all.
121. Should we learn to do housework? Nowadays, when we walk through the streets, we often see many boys and girls who, instead of spending their time on books, go roaming about the streets, start funny clubs, and give parties. They think it is the parents' responsibility to support them and do all the housework, so they do not work and just remain idle. We can also see some boys and girls who live in a small world of their own. They bury themselves among books and also are proud of themselves. They think that it will be condescending themselves if they do housework, for they often think themselves well educated. The attitude of these two types of youngsters towards housework is wrong. In my opinion, everyone, without the exception of boys, should have knowledge of housework. After all, they will have a family of their own, and they should contribute their part in maintaining a good home. Boys should also learn to do housework. For what will they do if they remain single? Though not all boys remain single, yet they will be valuable assistants in the family if they can do some housework. So, why not learn to do housework now?
122. Mutual understanding is important. Parents and teenagers often disagree about the amount of freedom and responsibility that young people are to have. Teenagers often want to be free to choose their own direction to spend leisure time. Some like to learn painting, while others prefer to sit around and talk or sing. Young people, as a whole, are anxious to be understood by their parents. On the other hand, most people don't quite understand their children. They regard it as their responsibility to teach offspring traditional beliefs, and they want the young to be obedient and do well in school. There always exists a tendency for parents to interfere in children's daily activities, insisting that homework be completed, while their teenagers' particular interests and hobbies are often neglected or even ignored. Personally, I think most problems between teenagers and their parents can be solved by joint planning and decision-making. Within any given family, agreements are achieved and problems are solved when all of the members take interest in the problem and share in their effort to work it out. Hence, parents and young people must realize the necessity to learn how to understand each other. In this way, even the most difficult problems can be solved.
123. Mother's love. Only a mother's love is selfless love. Anyone can see how sincerely mothers love their children. When you were a baby, your mother protected you as much as she could. In your waking hours, she held you in her arms. Whenever you made the least noise, she stopped her work to attend to you. Sometimes, when she slept at night, the least stir on your part would awake her She gave her whole heart to you. When you were old enough to go to school, you might think it was natural, but your mother would never forget that day. When the weather grew a little colder, she would think that you might be wearing too little clothing. When it became a little warmer, she would be afraid that you were wearing too much. When there was anything nice to eat in the family, she would wish you were at home to eat it. When she heard of your good health and work at school, she would feel happy. In case your health and work were not very good, she would feel sorry for you, even more sorry than you felt yourself. When you went home for a vacation, she would make your bed and prepare foods for you as if you were a guest. When you were about to go back to school at the end of a vacation, she prepared something for you to take back. If you searched the trunk carefully, you might find some tears in a corner, which your mother had shed for your leaving.
在线英语听力士，感谢您的收听，请推荐给身边的好友。